Yes, we are starting a new series at Inglewood Church this week, and it is called He Is, and we're looking at the names of God and who God is over the next 4 or 5 or so weeks. And why is that important? What does it matter? Well, here's the thing. What you think about God, whatever you think about God, will actually determine so much about how you live. If you don't believe in God, that's going to determine the way you live your life. Even as a believer, what you think about God and therefore what you think that He thinks about you is going to determine so many of the decisions that you make. And not even the decisions, but just how you feel about yourself, how you feel about the world around you, how you feel about other people. So defining who God is perhaps the most important question of your life. So you ready to listen? Okay, let's launch into who He is. Who is He? Who is God that we talk about, that we're on about, that we sing about, that we praise Him? I reckon it's a really important thing to, you know, start at the beginning and start with God who is creator, God who made everything, God the creator. And so let's start at the very start. Let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the one verse that kicks the whole thing off. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible is so funny. It's laughable how humorous it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's no prehistory. There's no prequel. There's no 1, 2, 3, and then George Lucas chucks in 5, 6, 7, or whatever it was that he did. There's just this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. The beginning of what? In the beginning of what are we talking about here? It's the beginning of everything, actually. It's the beginning of, and stay with me, all you philosophy majors. It's in the beginning of time. It's before anything else. How is that even a thing? What is before this? What is before God? This is an assumption that the Bible writer is making. He is not making any argument, any discussion for what was before God. I mean, God just is. In the beginning, God, pre-existent to human history, before anything at all. And even saying before is fraught with difficulty because there was literally nothing before God. Like not something and then there was God, like, oh, but there was that and there was that. No, there's literally nothing before God. God is. And so the Bible writer assumes that the reader, as we are reading this, will say, in the beginning, God. He just is. Time wasn't even a thing before God. Now, how on earth do we, with our finite, our limited minds, our minds that can only take in so much information, our minds that are stuck, trapped within time, how on earth do we comprehend something which is beyond time, beyond space? How do we do that? Well, I think the answer is we don't. That's actually the answer to that question. So when the Bible says, in the beginning, God, it's saying, well, you can try to wrap your head around it if you like, but it's impossible. In the beginning, God. He is. The word here is Elohim. And often throughout the Bible, you see Elohim plus something else. And it means mighty and powerful. In the beginning, God, who is mighty and powerful, created the world, pre-existing. I had a Bible college lecturer once who gave me an illustration which, for me at least, sums it up as best I think as I can understand it and as I can comprehend it. And I want you to imagine that on the stage I have an easel with a canvas on it and I am painting into that easel, into that painting. And I want you to imagine that that painting is the entire history of everything. Everything is contained within that painting. But the painting is a living, breathing thing. And God is the painter and he is his paintbrush. And he can intersect into that painting at any period, at any time, in any situation that he likes. He can paint. He can put a brush stroke here. He can put a brush stroke there. He can add color here. He can add life there. He is outside of but interacting with the painting. And we are the painting. Human history, the history of the world is contained within that painting. In the beginning, God. Just assumed. There it is. In the beginning, God created. A Hebrew word for create is bara. And basically, this is so interesting because this word is only ever used two, maybe three times. And it's only ever used of God. Because God is the only one that can create in a certain way. What is that way? He is the only one that can create out of nothing. Out of literally nothing. A term for that is ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. Now, I talked to someone like my friend Jared Main or someone like Leanne who made us the cross for Easter. Jared who made us those benches you'll see down the back, those coffee tables that he's made. And I'll say to them, how did you make that? What did you make that out of? And they will say to me, I made it out of nothing. And I say, well, you made out of nothing? What do you mean? Well, there was some scraps on the side of the road that someone had dumped. And I picked up those pieces of wood, those timber, and I made something beautiful out of nothing. Have they made something out of nothing? Have they made something out of nothing, have they? It may have been something that no one else wanted, but it was absolutely something. I was walking to church this morning and I was breathing in the air. I was breathing in oxygen. Can I see the oxygen? Is it there? Well, it looks like nothing, but it's not nothing. There's molecules, there's whatever there it is. It is something. God, however, created everything out of literally nothing. How can there be nothing? Well, there was. And God is the only one who can create something out of nothing. And that is exactly what he's done. Ex nihilo. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we read the Genesis account, the creation account, so very often we might read it with our scientific minds. One of the things that is really helpful to understand is it wasn't written by scientists. Now, I believe that the Bible is true in the science that it purports to be true. But so very often we will read this account of in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and we will bring to it our scientific mind, our Western mind. I don't actually think that's what the original writer wants us to get. Because what he actually talks about is he talks about how these things that God created affects us. So he'll talk about the heavens because we look up in the sky and we see the heavens. He'll talk about the sun because the sun makes the seasons and warms our face. He'll talk about animals. He'll talk about flora and fauna. And these are things that affect us. You see, the account of creation that is given in the Bible is so much more about God establishing a beautiful world for us to enjoy than what it is about establishing something that can be scientifically observed, an ecosystem. God isn't so much concerned about an ecosystem for you as what he is about providing for you a home, a place to live, a place that is beautiful, a place that is great for you. Even from the very beginning, why does God create us? Why does he create this world? Why does he create this universe with all its diversity and all its incredible complexity and all the beauty of the world? Why does he do it? Is he lonely? I think he does it because it comes out of his heart, out of his creative soul. out of his love, we are created. God creates because he is creative, he loves, and he's made us. So God is the creator of all things. Not just that, but he's also created you. Psalm 19, verse 1 to 4. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. I was walking to church this morning, as I said, and I was walking about 20 past 7, and the Christmas of the air, and it was still a little bit dark, and I'm walking to church, and I'm just breathing in that cold morning air, and I'm looking out as the sun is peeking up behind the church or up behind an oval or behind a tree, and I'm so much aware of the beauty of God as I look out in creation. And one of the things that people say to me often is, I love to go out into the bush. I love to go look at the ocean. I love to go out and just be in God's presence, which is a beautiful thing. The skies declare the glory and the handiwork of God. But here's the thing about that. This creation that God has given us is a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful gift that we should treasure, that we should look after, that we should preserve. When we were building this church, one of the things we did, you can't see them because it's dark, but lining the wall, all around, all the walls, are these panels that have come from a donga. Who knows what a donga is? All right, so a donga is basically a room or a building. Often they'll have them up north, and they're 100 mil thick, and it's steel on or tin on both sides, and then foam in the middle. When they build those things, they cut out the doors, 700 or 900 mil doors, and they cut them out and then they put a door into the donga. Do you know what they do with that panel that they've cut out? Normally it just gets thrown away, get chucked into a landfill. We've lined the whole of our church with these panels, and so we've stopped that little piece going into landfill. And it's an incredible, it's got audio qualities, it's got thermal qualities, it's fantastic. When we were making the decision to do that, I thought, this is so good that we're doing a little thing ourselves as a church, because creation is something that we should treasure, is something we should look out for. It's a gift that God has given to us. But I want to say a word about that. We don't worship the creation. We don't worship the gift. We worship the giver of the gift. When someone gives you a gift, you say, this is awesome, this is lovely. You don't worship that gift. You give your thanks. You give your appreciation. You give your love to the person that has given you that gift. So it's interesting, when we go out in the bush, or when we go out in we look at the ocean and we look at those things, we can be in awe of the creator that has made those things. And we can even say, this is beautiful, this creation that God has made us. But we don't worship the creation. We worship the creator. And this is an important thing about being Christians and about our worldview, is God has given us this incredible, precious gift. We treasure it, we value it, we look after it. But our glory, our praise goes to our Creator God. This is important. We need to understand who God is to know this. Not only has God made this beautiful creation and made this wonderful place in this universe that we live in, he is Creator God, he's also made you. Psalm 139. This is the psalmist talking to God. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. It's a beautiful passage. But it can also be quite confronting as well. But here's what I want you to get up first up. despite the fact that there may be 7 billion people in the world, and who knows how many people have lived and died and breathed on this world that have gone before us and they're going to come after us. I believe with all my heart that God brings life to every soul. And by life, I mean we are all made in His image. And what that means for me, and I believe for you, is that you are made in the image of God. He has put His life into you. It's a mysterious, it's a spiritual, it's a wonderful thing that God thought of you. He thought of you. He thought of the world. He spoke a word. The word came into being. He thought of you, and you were formed, and you were given life, spiritual life, the ability to be able to relate to God. You have got a spiritual consciousness because God thought of you. And you might think to yourself, well, hold on, there are 7 billion people in this world, and there's been billions before, and there might be a few billion after. Well, that may be true, but God, in all His eternity, in His infinite power and infinite knowledge, receive this, please. He thought of you. You were knit together. This passage is confronting because for many, that life that was formed is cut short well before its time. For some, it's a miscarriage. For some, it's an abortion. For others, there are other things that happen and that go on. So when we read this passage, it can actually be very confronting. But I want to say something about that. I want to say that every life that has been formed and made, whether it's been cut short before its time, it's made in the image of God. It has that consciousness and that spark. There's a psalm where King David talks about this. And he talks about a son that was taken from him well before his time. And he says, I will see that child in heaven. And indeed he will. It's not the way we want things to be. It's not how we were planning things to be. But that image and that spark of God is there. Should these things happen? I don't want them to happen. Sin, disease, sickness, all have entered into the world, and the world is not a great place. But that does not discount this passage. It doesn't take away from its power. You have made us wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. You see, for people who read this passage back in that time, they didn't have the incredible technology that we have nowadays. Even when Melinda and I were having children, we had this fuzzy little black and white photo given to us, and I thought, what the heck is that? But now you look at the scans that they have in like 3D and their color, you can see whose nose the kid's got, poor kid. You can see so much about them. You can see the complexity in the womb, and it's incredible. It's marvelous. But they didn't have that back then. It was even more of a mystery to them than what it is to us. But that's not what it's talking about. It's actually talking about the life, the spiritual life that every one of us has been given. The passage goes on. Listen to this. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? Interesting. When this psalm was written, the psalmist is actually almost arguing against some of the common thought of the day. Because some of the Eastern religions and thoughts of the day were that it was only kings. It was only leaders and important celebrities that God actually looked upon and made their lives divine, made them special. You know how it seems that some people are just divine and appointed and have incredible stuff about them from the day of birth? It was the same back then. The psalmist actually pushes back and argues against that. This is what he says. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? Every single human being God has created and given life to, and they are precious in His sight. Later on, Jesus talks about the hairs on your head. I know the hairs on your head and I can count them. And that's getting easier and easier for Jesus. But he knows you. He's a creator God who made you. He knows you. He sees you. I love what Bronwyn shared about the child this morning. You know, God is in the small things like that, and is in the much greater things as well. God, who created the world, also created you. And I want every person that's sitting here today to get that, to know that. How precious are your thoughts about me? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. So God created the world, and God created you. There's a final act, something else that he created, and that is salvation. This verse from Ephesians, new life. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us, this is God creating, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace you've been saved. Just as creation was created out of nothing and could only be created by God, so the fact that we can, you can know Jesus, have your sins forgiven, can only be done by God. It can only be through his grace, through his power. And it's done, it's new life. If you've chosen to follow Jesus, if you've chosen to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, if you said to him, I'm sorry for what I've done, I want your Holy Spirit to come inside of me, to be part of my life, then you've accepted that creation, that creative act that God has performed when Jesus rose from the dead from the cross. You know the illustration about the painting and about God, the painter, standing outside of creation and intersecting and painting here, painting there throughout the history of time. The story of Jesus is the fact that he dives into that painting and he becomes part of the story. It's an incredible act of Jesus to become one of us. He jumps into the story and becomes part of that painting, part of that amazing history. And in so doing, creates life, spiritual life. As it was predicted back in Genesis, so it occurs in the story of Jesus. You know, this morning, I just want us to grasp how much it is that God loves us. That as a creator, he would make this beautiful world for us to explore and enjoy. How where you were born, he was thinking of you. And how now, he wants you to understand and know the breadth and the depth of his incredible love for you. Let me just close our eyes, just bow our heads. Maybe it's just time for you to respond. You've never asked God into your life. If you've never truly, you've skirted around the edges. Just want you to acknowledge this morning in your own heart that God is the creator of everything. Just acknowledge that now, everyone. You have to say it out loud, but just acknowledge in your heart, God, you made everything. Now, it's personal, because now in this moment we're going to acknowledge the fact that God made you. So just acknowledge in your heart right now, God, you made me. Just acknowledge that. Just say it in your heart, God, you made me. You know me. You know my name. You gave me the ability to be able to relate to you. You gave me a spiritual consciousness. You gave me life. And now the greatest decision that you need to make, if you haven't already made it, but let's all make it again together, is all of us need God in our lives. We need forgiveness. We need new life. Right now, right here, Lord God, we acknowledge Jesus. We thank you that he has come into human history. We thank you that he died and rose again for each one, for every person in the world. And right here, right now, I acknowledge you for the first time, for the second, for the 300th time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given me new life. I accept that again. You are good. Father God, we are so grateful that you made us. We're so grateful that you made this beautiful world. We're so grateful for all the good things we've experienced and enjoyed together this morning. May your Holy Spirit fill us each one this week. As we go out this week, may we carry within us the hope that there is purpose to this world, there is purpose to this life, and that purpose is something we have found. It's you, Jesus. May we carry that with us this week in hope. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all say together, Amen. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. Love to meet you after the service if you're new here today, and God bless.